views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Karmic Path Radio Show with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is where they build the karmic connection between science, psychology, and spirituality. They explore how these concepts and our actions affect our daily lives. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join this dynamic duo for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth and powerful view. Only on the Karmic Path Radio Show will you discover how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of wisdom for you. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura. Better karma for better living starts now.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us again. My name is Laura and this is Tina. And we want to start out with saying simply that our passion is karma and that everyone has a karmic path, whether you're aware of it or not. We don't live in a bubble and everyone's actions and reactions do collide and they echo out. Our passion is to offer you a new way of looking at life so that you can too, perhaps, improve your karmic path. Last week, we talked about my personal experiences as to how and why I got here. I talked about one of my daughters and all these experiences we had and looking for psychic help. And I kissed a lot of psychic frogs along the way.
But they were charming frogs.
They were charming frogs. They were great frogs. But they,
well-intentioned.
Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't really kiss Tina, but then, you know, she sort of stuck. And we talked about what that was like and also the fact that karma put me in this position so that I could really understand what I needed to know. I didn't know what I needed to know.
Well, I mean, when you have a child that's this psychic and can see and hear and experience so many different things all at once, and she's 6 years old.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting, and it's a little bit, it can be very, very scary.
And safety was paramount. And that was my path. That's what brought me here from, you know, being a school teacher. So today we're focusing in on Tina's karmic path and her prior experiences to share with you what she has learned, why she's doing what she does, and why it's so important. Take it away, Tina.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, I'm really thrilled to get to share a little bit about what got me started. And I think everyone has psychic ability. And the purpose of psychic ability is to keep you safe. I was on an airplane recently and we had this conversation and I was sitting next to two engineers, super scientists. And they said, we don't believe in any of that stuff. And I said, so you're in traffic and you can sense when the driver ahead of you is going to move into your lane. That's psychic ability and you use it every day. And they said, okay, we never looked at it that way. And so I just thought everyone understood this. So as a child, I could see some things. I had an imaginary playmate. And I think when most people don't realize that their children's imaginary playmates are not imaginary. We moved from one house to another and my imaginary playmate, quote, didn't come with us because she was not part of my imagination. And so I became sensitive to the people around me and the things that were happening. But above all, I realized that maybe not everybody can see the things that I see and sense the things. But, you know, I didn't really think about it that much. I went to college. I went to UNC at Chapel
Hill. It was your norm.
That was my norm. I grew up in North Carolina. It's a gorgeous state, lovely people. And so I went to college. I have a Bachelor of Science in Industrial Relations.
That sounds really exciting.
Well, it's negotiation. It's how unions and management negotiate. But throughout your life, you're always negotiating something. And of course, we're always negotiating with the other side. So
right. It's
not an easy little path. So I get out of college and it's in the 70s and no one's going to hire a woman with this degree. And so I thought, you know, they had these adorable Navy recruiters on campus. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to spend my life as a martyr trying to get people to pay me the same as a man. I'm not a martyr personality. So I figured, you know, Congress says they have to pay me the same as a guy. How hard can possibly be? Men do it, you know? I mean, so I marched myself down to my Air Force recruiter and he said, here, fill this out. And it was, I don't know, 15, 20 pages of high math and calculus and whatever it takes to fly an airplane. And I haven't heard from them.
Have you heard from them yet?
I haven't heard from
them
yet. I'm still waiting. However, I got tired of waiting after about a week. And so I marched myself down to my Navy recruiter. And he says, here, fill out this form. So I filled out the front and I filled out the back and I just kept filling out and filling out. And he says, you're a little qualified to enlist. I said, dude, I got a degree. I want to be a... We haven't really ever had an officer from the state of North Carolina, at least a woman officer. And I said, well, I'm going to be your first. Nothing like pluck and daring to get you where you want to go. And Chief Master, he was a Master Chief Petty Officer Ledbetter. I'll never forget his name. He marched my application through the Pentagon. And this is an element, I'm not going to say of the paranormal, but of some amazing things that can happen. He absolutely believed in me. I don't know, maybe it was the cute dress I wore. I did hair and makeup. I was just adorable that year. And he says, I marched it through the Pentagon, and 30 days later, I had a position in an officer candidate class in October. And some people had been waiting 2 years for that class, and I got in immediately. So sometimes when you have that synchronicity, it must have been meant to be. So I go through 4 months of officer candidate school in Newport, Rhode Island in the winter, and it was horrible. 95 women lined up to be, I mean, we must have thought we were insane. It was so freaking cold. And so while I'm there, I meet the cutest naval officer and we became engaged. And we decided that he was going to be stationed in New London because he was going to be a submariner. So I talked what was called the detailer, and they detail where you're going to go next into stationing me there. And this was the year they had just begun to allow naval officers to be married. If you were a female and you got married, you got out because you couldn't be a good naval officer and be married. And I said, but men can be wonderful naval officers and be married.
You know what's crazy about that? That was only a couple decades ago.
Yes, it was only a couple decades ago.
Think of where we've come. And I know we kind of complain as a society about, you know, all of these things that aren't right. But a couple of decades ago, you couldn't be married and a naval officer.
And then you certainly couldn't have a child and stay in. And they told us that men were better naval officers if they were married, but women were only better naval officers if they were single. And I said, I'm sorry, but that's CRAP. I think that's just crazy. So I convinced this woman who had never been married to station me with my fiance, which violated every brand new rule they had. And I think someone was looking out for me. Again, a very powerful synchronicity. And so the first day that I'm in New London, Connecticut, and what's significant about this is that's where submarine school is. It's where we have fast attack submarines. And a lot of amazing men are there. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you and our listening group here. I joined the Navy to find a husband. I admit it. I kid you not. I wanted to be married. And I figured, yeah, a lot of guys there. The job, I could figure it out. You know, nothing like little bravado.
You just increased your odds.
By God, I increased my odds on a naval base where they had only one or two other women officers.
She's a fidgeter. I'm trying to figure out how to duct tape her arms to herself.
I'm a fidgeter. I'm sorry.
I think she was Italian in a past life.
I know I was. So the fiance I'm engaged to with ring, and I had a fight the first day. So I go down to the snack bar in the area in the bachelor officer quarters where everybody could congregate. And there's a guy sitting there, I swear to God, he looks like Superman. He has on the birth control glasses that Clark Kent wore. And he looks like Christopher Reeve. He's 6'1" and he has brown hair and these incredibly dumb glasses. And he's so good looking. It's like, oh my God, do I really want to be married to Dave? Oh my gosh. And I'm looking at this ring and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And he gets up and he said, oh, can I help you? And I fell in love with my husband at that moment. And that was March 19th of 1973.
Not that you'll forget that day.
No, I will never forget that day, the day I met him. And I was able to convince my fiance that I was not going to be a great wife. I wanted five kids and seven cats. And he said, that's not what I want. And I'm dumping you. And I said, okay, I'll have to accept it somehow. And by the way, I really love this ring. Can I buy it? And he says to me, okay. And about a week later, Troy and I started dating and everyone said, you know, he's the rebound. I said, no, he's the prize, not the rebound. 45 years later, Superman at this age is just as adorable as he was all those years ago.
He is pretty adorable.
He really is adorable. Superman aged really, really well. So we start to date in June and I'm looking at my watch thinking, I have a lot to do. He needs to ask me to marry him. It's August now. And I'm thinking, what is he waiting for? We've been dating, what, 6-7 weeks? Let's get on with this. And he says,
I'm looking for moss. I don't see any.
There's no moss. So he says, listen, I have orders to a boat in a submarine in the Philippines. Will you write to me? And I said, dude, no. If you're interested in me, get your orders changed to a boomer out of New London, because I am not waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm in the Navy where there's 99% men. So,
you know, make a decision here, dude. I got a lot of stuff to do. And he changed his orders the next day. And so by after 4 months, he asked me in August and we eloped in October. And it's been a roller coaster ever since. And what he didn't realize was because we didn't know each other very long, he had no idea he married a psychic.
He had no idea what she really was.
He had no idea. And it was an amazing thing. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that happened. We're going to be right back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And you can write to us at questions@thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you new to playing with the law of attraction or a seasoned pro looking for an easy and organized way to monitor your co-creation endeavors as you draw them from the immaterial planes into your physical reality? Then join me over at goldenotter.us for bi-monthly new and full moon rituals where we plant seeds of intention, then harvest the fruits of our desires as part of a dynamic community in the members-only Lunar Manifestations Forum. I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Otter Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, and I can't wait to meet you.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts oracle cards. You can order the Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Welcome back to the Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. Tina's been talking about her story, her path, and how she joined the Navy to find a husband and how she had a giant sea of them, a bunch of seamen, basically.
Oh, God, there's so many cute guys.
And she finds her Superman. So go ahead, Tina.
What he didn't realize was that not only did he marry, you know, a 5'1" ensign, and then in my job, when I was at working in New London, was I was assigned to supervisor of shipbuilding, conversion and repair, electric boat division, where they were building 688 class new construction submarines.
Can you say that five times fast?
I said it a lot. Anyway, okay. My job was to manage all the communication gear and all the communication
stuff,
the crypto cards and everything for all of these new construction submarines. So it was an enormous job for an ensign. So the Navy gives you a huge responsibility really early. I just loved it. So meanwhile, when I'm not at the supervisor shipbuilding, I am at home, and Troy was actually not at sea sometimes. And one of those times, I had a major psychic event happen, and that particular story is detailed in Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, Volume 3. It's one of the early stories. And
I'm going to interject a little bit. There's a trilogy, Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, and there's three of them, but each book has 21 unique and true ghost stories. What happened to the ghost? Why they didn't cross over? So there are a lot of fun. It's a lot of short stories, and it's a fun read.
It's a very fun read, and it's actually quite educational. And in the particular story I'm referring to, this was a situation where I didn't understand what was happening to me, and I didn't understand that I had a ghost with me. But this wasn't a situation where you see a ghost. This is where a ghost wants to take over your life. And
it wants to possess you.
It was a form of possession, and how this took place. And we had none of the tools that we'll be sharing with you in the coming weeks, or we share in our online courses, because we had no idea what to do. But what I discovered, because karma never wastes energy, what a concept.
No, it doesn't.
As I'm going through this, I discovered that my husband really was Superman, because in my most terrified moments, he gathered me in his arms, and he put his arms around me, and he found a solution that was both beautiful, elegant, and exceedingly spiritual. So I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
I'll let you read it. But I learned that I had this wonderful man, and then I had this really chilling thought. This wasn't going to be the last time something psychic happened to me, and it's a gamble whether or not he's going to be at home for the next several times.
And does he know anything at this point in time about how psychic you are? Or do you know how psychic you are?
I am kind of an innocent and about to be abroad. I really didn't know. And as soon as I married Troy, and he was so familiar, it's like, I know him. I feel like I've been married to him before. So all these past life memories came rushing back. Was very, very weird. He was so familiar. He wasn't new to me, which is why after 4 months, it's like, dude, we got to get going.
Well, and I think that a lot of people can identify with this. When you meet someone for the first time, but you feel like you've known them forever in either a really good way or sometimes a really bad way, what is that about? Is that a connection with a past life? Quite possibly.
I don't think it's a possibility. I think it's a definite for he and I. And we did finally figure out what it was. We had a past life in New England. And so he comes home one day and he says, how would you like to be stationed overseas? And I said, sure. He said, Japan or Italy? And I said, Italy. You know what the shopping is like there? The jewelry. Oh my gosh. The clothes, the art. My mind is just calculating already. So we get to be.
I think the Italian country, the economy sort of dipped after they left.
We're just sure of it. I bought something every day for the 3 years that we were stationed in Naples, Italy. But while we were there, all of this psychic ability, it's like somebody had poured water on a plant and I just started blossoming with all these abilities that I didn't know that I had. And one of them was premonitions. And in what made it weird was that we're stationed in Naples and I was at the Av South base. There were two bases and I was at the Av South base, which was the NATO base. And all those buildings on that base were built by the Nazis.
Not haunted.
Oh my God. There were, if you had the duty in those buildings, you could hear people screaming at night. You could hear footsteps above you. It was terrifying. I wouldn't make a round without a chief petty officer. By now I'm a lieutenant junior grade, Lieutenant JG. And so I don't want to go through the buildings and I feel like I must be imagining this. So I went to lunch one day with one of the other women officers and I said, you know, Cindy, do you think these buildings are haunted? And she says, of course they're haunted. Don't you hear the ghosts at night? And I said, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only psychic here. And she says, oh yeah, they're torturing somebody up that floor. And it just keeps going on and on and on.
And, you know, on a side note, that's really a sad thought, right? You think that once somebody's died, that torture will end.
But it didn't end. And we could hear it day after day. I mean, you couldn't hear it during the day. And these ceilings were 20-foot ceilings. So it echoed in these buildings made of tufo stone. Not stone. It's like a tufo material. It's not even stone. And it was very, very chilling. But in the meantime, okay, I can now sense these things. I can hear them. I'm having one premonition after the other. And some of them involved my husband. And one of them, he was attached to the submarine group 8 staff. I was the administrative officer for, get ready for this one, Naval Communications Area Master Station Mediterranean.
Sorry.
Nav CAMS Med.
Okay, that one I can repeat.
Yes. And he was attached to submarine group 8, and they would ride the submarines that were entering the Mediterranean and do testing and all kinds of things. And so one of the times he was flying from Naples to Rota, Spain. And I said, I just have a really bad feeling. And he just becomes completely alarmed because I have a really good track record. Not often wrong. And he said, is the plane going to go down? And is something horrible going to happen to me? And I said, I don't know. I don't think so, but it's not going to be good.
Way to leave a guy hanging.
And he said, should I get on the plane? I said, well, you can't be AWOL, so you have to get on the plane. So he gets on the plane. He rides the boat. He comes back.
Thinking he's going to crash.
I didn't see that. You have to understand with premonitions.
I do know.
Yeah. You know, with a premonition, you don't get to see everything.
And sometimes the futures are fluid, and what we see may or may not happen, or it may be adjusted somehow.
So he comes back and he said, well, I know why you had that premonition. I said, oh my gosh, what happened? He said, I can't tell you. It's classified. It's like, you're kidding me.
Do you know to this day?
I don't know to this day.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. I just know that he was not happy and whatever happened was classified. So a couple months pass. He has another trip to Spain. And he says, how are you feeling? I said, oh my God, I don't know what it is, but something wonderful is going to happen to you.
Well, that's a plot twist with a premonition.
Premonitions are not always bad. Sometimes they are wonderful and powerful. And he said, you don't know what it is, do you? And I said, I don't have a clue, but I can feel this energy that's surrounding you in the future. You're going to do something and your trip's going to be as amazingly good as the last one was awful. He said, at least the plane's not going down. So he makes the trip and he comes back and he got a medal. So what happened? He said, I still can't tell you. It's classified. But I can tell you, because I was on the bridge and I'm a really good ship driver, I did prevent something from happening. That's as far as I can go because everything else is classified. So it's like, hey, okay. So he makes another trip to Spain. And he said, what are you getting? I said, nothing. It's just a routine trip. He said, this is just exhausting. And I said, welcome to my world.
Right.
What makes this thing a gift? You know,
yeah.
If I could give this back, let me assure you I would. So we continue to, you know, go along. We have a great time in Italy. The very first beginnings of remote viewing happened. We are lost.
All right. So let's talk about remote viewing for somebody who might not know.
Okay.
When you remote view, it's an ability to see beyond dimension, beyond space, time. It's an ability to see in a different location from where you're sitting.
So we're lost in the Italian countryside and we have no gas left. We have maybe a mile left in our little Fiat, and it's dark and we're hungry and we have no idea where we are. And this is before the days of GPS. And so we pull over and I pass out. He looks at me and he just waits. And about 10 minutes later, I wake up and I said, turn here, 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 and here, and there'll be a gas station. And he did that. And he said, I don't want to know how you did that. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Oh my God. And it was exactly what I said. We had several situations where I could see what was coming in traffic and saved his life and my life and somebody else's life, because I could see it was coming and I wanted him to slow down and stop. But what's happening next, we'll tell you after.
All right. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And you can always write us questions at The Karmic Path, questions@thekarmicpath.com. We are doing a Facebook Live feed, but frankly, Tina and I are too new at this to be thinking about, you know, what's going on in Facebook Live. I think it would just like throw us over the edge. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to the Karmic Path Radio and Transformation Talk Radio. Tina's talking about some of her experiences, and we've talked about remote viewing and some of these other things that were happening. But I wanted you to talk about what happened when you come back from Italy and after the Italian economy tanked from you leaving.
Yeah.
And this house that you had in Botany Bay.
So my husband says, where should we go back to? And I said, let's go back to Charleston. It's charming. And I'm not even thinking how haunted it is.
It's a really cute town.
It's adorable, but it's really haunted. So we go back to Charleston.
And the nicest airport there, by the way.
Yeah, they do. Lovely people. And we get back to Charleston in the summer, in the heat, in the humidity. And I am pregnant with our oldest son, James. And we are now looking for our very first house. And we're no longer two tenants with no kids, no debt. And we're now about to have a kid and have a big house and debt. So those days were over. Anyway, we're looking through Charleston. We go through this one house and I just had this really bad feeling. And the person said, it's a great house. I said, I had a really bad feeling. So I knocked on the door and talked to the neighbor. And she said, yes. And she showed me her garage and it's floor to ceiling with lawsuit. You don't want to be next door to a lawsuit. And I said, what are the things crawling on all the lawsuit papers? And she said, oh, those are termites. I just haven't been able to get rid of them. So that when I say karmic, psychic ability keeps you safe, I kid you not, it absolutely warned me we should not buy that house. However, it was somehow amazingly deficient when it came to the house we actually bought.
Okay.
So we go to the Archdale Plantation, which is way out on Dorchester Road. For those of you who are in Charleston, you know where I'm talking about. Not far from the Air Force Base there. And we buy this house that was 18 months old. So you don't think that a house that's 18 months old is haunted, right?
It can't be haunted. It's new.
I didn't know anything about predecessor energy, which is the energy of people who lived there before.
The energy of the land, the energy of the people, any events that happened there.
And the dead. So when we're looking at the house, and I don't know whether I was distracted because I was pregnant, or I was just so glad to finally find a house that was livable and not
full of termites.
So we bought this house, and that story of the house on Botany Bay is detailed in Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, Volume 1. It's the very first story. And the ghost we had in that house was, we named him Jake, and he drove us stark raving mad. But we discovered the entire neighborhood was haunted in it, and the history of the land went back to the 1600s and land grants from England. But when you buy a house and you're in a hurry,
and you're excited to buy a house,
you're excited and your husband has to go to navigator school right away, and you don't have a choice. So it's whirlwind and you buy this property and he leaves and you're alone in a house and you hear footsteps and you think you'll go mad because it's an empty house because your household goods haven't arrived across the ocean yet. And we lived in that house 7 years, and the story of what happened in that house made my blood run cold when I was living it. And I, when I wrote it down, because my kid said, Mom, you have to write this down. It was unending.
you had a ghost decide to crawl in bed with you.
Yes, but don't give it all away.
Well, I'm just telling you that part. I mean, how creepy is that?
It was just absolutely terrifying.
And the thing about ghosts is you can't tell them to go away. You can't say or push them out. Or
you can't banish them, as you well discovered.
You can't banish them. I mean, they kind of have a mind of their own, and they don't take up the same physical space we do. So you got a ghost next to you in bed. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
So I am watching my own ability begin to metamorphosize. I mean, I can sense a ghost, and I knew Jake was there. And the Siamese we had at the time, they knew Jake was there because when he was active, their giant blue eyes, you know, expanded.
And animals are generally pretty psychic when it comes to seeing these unseen energies.
And I'm pointing this out because I was clearly clueless.
Well, and it's a sense of validation. When your animals are, when you suspect something and your intuition says there's something not right here, and then you've got an animal staring off into this corner, or you've got, you know, your cat or dog or whatever, it's kind of a sense of validation.
Well, it is, but it didn't help me any because I contacted the Duke University School of Parapsychology, and they said, we don't know how to remove a ghost. We just study it, but we don't know what to do. And I had been studying from the time I was 8, paranormal activity. I was reading everything I could get my hands on. And that's one of the huge points I would like to make. There are a lot of people who are psychic. Actually, we're all psychic on some level. But I knew I had psychic ability. And I knew that I needed to learn what to do with it and how to understand what was happening to me. And I studied. And I read everything I could get my hands on.
But you studied, and I did the same thing. You're studying everything you can get your hands on, not just one philosophy or not one school of thought.
Or one religion.
Because when you do that, you're limiting your possibilities.
And I didn't want to do that. And I studied across all different disciplines and genres. And I think that the higher realms had a say this with a little humor here, had a job for me. And obviously my time in Charleston wasn't going to be enough. And I was on and off the executive officer for a submarine training facility in Charleston. I was the admin officer. Then I was XO for some time. And then I went on to be officer in charge of personnel support detachment, Naval Station Charleston. And then my husband and I got orders to go to Norfolk, Virginia. And when we got to Norfolk, they needed jobs for both of us. And my husband became the commanding officer of a submarine rescue ship. And he did a really great job on that ship. And actually, when Challenger exploded, it was his ship that found the damaged O-ring from the Challenger disaster. And we have this unfortunately necessary plaque from NASA acknowledging that. But in the meantime, the submarine force was, I was grateful that they gave me a job because they didn't know what to do with me. And they gave me the most astounding job up to this point. The most astounding job I'd ever had. I could barely say the title. And this was my title.
Okay, I'm listening.
Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
I was the Assistant Chief of Staff for Force Physical Security, Anti-Terrorism and Law Enforcement for Commander Submarine Force U.S. Atlantic Fleet in my territory to protect 86 submarines, 9 submarine tenders, 3 submarine bases, and the senior Jewish admiral in the Navy included all of the East Coast, Central South America, all of Northern Europe, Central Europe, the Mediterranean, Northern Africa, and all of the Atlantic. And everything I did had to be shared with other what are called tight commanders.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
How did you put that in a business card?
You weren't allowed business cards. If people were supposed to know about you, right, and find you.
So basically, your new job was the Atlantic Ocean.
It was the Atlantic Ocean.
And to protect your fleet. By the way, when you're protecting the Atlantic Ocean, your fleet, you're also protecting your own husband.
Well, it wasn't right? just Troy, because he was right. part of the fleet. These were my friends. I had an enormous number of Navy wives who were my friends. I had people whose children were now in the Navy. I had men who I had known, who I'd worked with. They, you know, they went back to sea in those ships. And my job was to protect them from terrorist attack, both domestic terrorism and international terrorism. And it was an astounding job. And any thought of psychic ability kind of just left me. And all I could think of is, I have just been set up to fail. So I went home and I cried for 3 days because I am an ordinary mortal person with a realistic point of view that no mortal person could possibly do that job. And I asked, you know, do I have any help? And I had two people who were basically doing locks and doors and safes. And I said, that's not anti-terrorism, or we need to be talking to the State Department and CIA and all the manufacturers, and we need to be working really hard. And they said, well, there's no money. There's nothing we can do. And the heads of the submarine bases didn't want to have anything to do with me because I'm a little tiny woman. I look like a Barbie doll in a uniform for some of them.
You know, we need to flash up one of those pictures where you're standing with, you got Tina and you got all these men over here.
Yeah, it was really funny. But it was a blast at the same time. And I asked my boss, what resources? And he said, well, you got anybody in the fleet you want to help you. Okay. And I said, what about a SEAL team? And he says, okay, we'll get you SEAL Team 6. And they did. And so I'm getting to work with the most astounding minds in the military. I'll just say it. I'm really prejudiced. These are some of the most astounding men who are brilliant, dedicated. I'll call them patriots because that's how I feel. And yes, I'm referring to my own husband, but I knew these ship captains. I knew the navigators and the XOs on board those submarines. We'd entertained them all in Naples. A lot of them, when I was an instructor at sub school, when we were living in New London, it was another one of my jobs. They were in my class. So I built a reputation within the submarine force all those years ago. And I knew those men. I cared about it. It was personal to me. And then I have two kids. And all I could think of is, what if that were James walking that topside watch? How would I want to protect him? And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I learned about the submarine force and these men. So we will be right back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And remember, you can always write to us at questions@thekarmicpath.com.
It's time to step into the power of yes. Creating the life you want is up to you. The power comes from saying yes to ourselves, yes to possibilities, and yes to change. Are you ready? Start achieving your goals and moving life in the direction you want. Tune in each month to Yes Minded Power Radio with Barbara Scheidegger to start living your future now. For more information about the show and working with Barbara, visit yesmindedpower.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Darcy Pariso is your connection to spirit, energy, and healing. You can meet Darcy in person at upcoming events throughout Seattle. Do you have questions about your animal companions, yourself, or do you desire to communicate with loved ones on the other side? Darcy will connect you and get answers. Darcy can also work with energy healing to help you and your animal companions feel more balanced and recharged. Visit darcypariso.com/events.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And Tina's talking about her time in the military. And now she is in charge of the Atlantic Ocean, little tiny spot on the earth.
Well, one of the things they did, since this was a gigantic job, is I said, you know, I don't know how to do this job. I was talking about brutally honest. And they said, well, then go get yourself some education. So they let me go to terrorist school. And I learned about evil. I learned about the dimensions of evil and how it works. While we were in Italy, Aldo Moro was kidnapped and the Red Brigade was there and General Dozier was kidnapped by the Red Brigade. I didn't know any of, I knew some of that, but I didn't know all of that. But now that I'm in this new job where I really have to understand terrorism, they invited General Dozier to speak to the terrorist class. And we had CIA people and DEA people and State Department and ambassadors in this class. It was quite an interesting group. And I was really privileged. I got to talk to all these fascinating people about what evil were they trying to protect themselves from. But General Dozier came to speak, and he was working in Italy, actually at the same time we were there. His wife had a bad feeling. Again, psychic ability keeps you safe if you pay attention to it. It's a karmic opportunity to listen to your inner self and your higher self. And I'm talking with my Italian hands. And so when he was kidnapped, his wife kept saying, I see this car. I think this is really bad. And he had been warned, but he didn't pay attention. So once he was kidnapped, the CIA went into action with their remote viewing team. And they had no idea where he was, but they used remote viewing to find him.
A group of people are projecting their consciousness, following his trail, kind of like when your police dog following a scent.
Well, they followed his energetic trail and they were able to find him, which, by the way, since I've been doing remote viewing a lot of years now, it's really hard. But they did find him just literally, I think, a couple hours before the Carabinieri actually did find him. And so what I learned was that this was a real ability that could be used for tremendous good, actually, or tremendous evil.
Right.
And so I think that one has to be very careful, and we will, as the weeks go by, be talking about all these various psychic abilities and what some of the elements are of it. One of the things that I learned working for the submarine force, not only are these men who are absolutely dedicated to the safety of the United States and basically the free world, they are all psychic. Only they're psychic on a heightened level, but they're men, so they call it a gut instinct. They're never going to call it, I have a psychic feeling, because they
get laughed at.
They get laughed at. But they say, you know what? I got a feeling. I think, let's think about this. And they bring their team in, and they epitomize teamwork. They epitomize having that sensibility of when the ship feels right. When a ship feels right, it's in balance. It's not just you trim your submarine, so, you know, pitch, roll, and yaw, you know, when you're deep, or even when you're on the surface. It's, are the people in a good place? Can you feel, is the equipment in a good place? Pilots have that same sense too. But submariners are different. If you feel like something's off with the boat, you had better find it. And I can't tell you how many submariners shared with me stories of when they didn't pay attention to that and what the disastrous consequences were.
Well, that ship with all those men at that time, but now men and women, it becomes an organism.
It's alive. And I had captains tell me, I knew something was coming. I knew we were about to have an accident. I tried to stop it. I did all of these things. I could feel it coming and I didn't know how to stop it. So just because you know something's coming doesn't mean you can stop it, but they listen to their psychic ability. And, you know, when they went before the court-martial board, they actually could document all the things that they had done to protect their ship. And I think that's just really an incredible concept.
Yes. In self-defense on every level, a psychic self-defense, regular third dimensional self-defense, locking your doors at night, as above, so below.
I think that when you deliberately submerge your ship, there is a part of you that the submarine becomes your larger body. Just like when you're driving a car, your car becomes your larger body. And if you allow yourself to become one with your car, you're moving in a different mindset. And I'm sure race car drivers do the same thing. When I studied terrorism, I remember one of my jobs was to protect the senior Jewish admiral in the Navy, who's only 6'5". And they said, you know, how are you going to protect him? I said, I'm flying all over the world.
I had a big stick. No, kidding.
So I sent the aide to the admiral to personal protection of principal school. And the lesson from that, the karmic opportunity, that karmic lesson was, you can't do everything yourself. That's why we have books and classes out. We're trying to teach people to the very best of our ability how to protect themselves. We don't want thousands of people saying, oh, can you clear my house? Can you do this? To be blunt, because our job is to teach the living to help the dead. Our job is to look at, is there a dead person isn't necessarily an evil person, but a dead person can be just as evil right. As a living person. And as time goes by, there will be just hundreds of examples. And when you look at a classified document every other day that is 5 pages, single-spaced, of terrorist activity, you have two choices if you're a mom and a wife. You can either curl up into a ball and cry, or you can get busy and get your job done. And I am really happy to say that at the end of this job, we put 9 devices in the fleet and I think 7 devices on submarine tenders. They repair submarines. We provided enormous help to submarine bases, and the head of security for the bases that I was in charge of became part of my dynamic team. I will forever be grateful to them for the hard work that they did, because they were civilians. They cared deeply about the submarine force and the boats and the men, civilian and military. So a military person's job is protection and service. It's not that people are warmongering. It doesn't mean that they aren't spiritual. They're some of the most spiritual people you could ever meet, because they care. They care with a depth and a passion you can't imagine. But I am not a passionate person.
No.
No, not at all. But when you look at a military person, you think about that. And we were eventually sent to Charleston. And what happened in Charleston was, I basically retired here. I was the executive officer for submarine training facility. And I turned down major command because I was, in fact, screened for major command. And I said, it's time to leave. Karma, the Navy's over. It's time to go.
It's time to do something else.
And I never looked back. And I still have the utmost regard for the men who helped me when I was in the Navy. I had many, many tremendous mentors. I can't say enough great things about my 20 years in the Navy. And I did retire at the commander level, and I got a really nice medal when I retired, both from Sublant and mm-hmm. from San Diego. So what I want to end up with is that I'm a very ordinary person, but I have this dynamic drive to understand it just a little bit, to understand it at every level. It's not enough to say, talk to spirit. I don't know who that is. By God, well, I want to know.
You know, and I'm going to take a quick segue. I know we're almost done, but yeah, just a quick one. When we say talk to spirit, we're saying talk to whom? We don't know who or what spirit is. It could be from the divine or not so divine.
So what I learned is that evil exists, and there are tools, and there are wonderful people that will help you to change the energy of evil into something really, really good, that you have to harden yourself as a target, whether you're a submarine or you're an individual. That I did in that house in Charleston and here in San Diego, because we had a lot of ghosts come to us here. I learned that sage is worthless, and I learned that something called dragon's blood will remove darkness from a house. I learned that you have to keep your frequency high. It's a math problem. When we talk about science, frequency of your human body is a math problem. A high frequency body is a well body. It's harder for evil to come at you.
And along the way, we both learned a lot of things about how to protect ourselves. And we do actually, if you go to thekarmicpath.com, we have online courses. And if you put in the coupon code KARMA1, the number one, you can take the Slaying the Energy Vampire class for free. It's and check those out, but it's on thekarmicpath.com. You go to courses. And at the same time, we want to give a quick and fabulous shout out to our sponsors, theoillounge.com. And this is a group of essential oil leaders in this industry where they teach the science behind how essential oils work and what they can do for you. And we want to thank you for listening to us on Transformation Talk Radio. And you can write in with any questions you may have at questions@thekarmicpath.com.
Until next week.
Thank you for listening to the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen live Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as Tina and Laura explore the fascinating elements of karma and help listeners make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology in an emotionally comfortable and logical way. Both Tina and Laura are experienced psychics with grounded backgrounds in public education and the military. They have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to sharing this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with the Karmic Path Radio Show. For more information on Tina and Laura and their work, visit thekarmicpath.com.